This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
When it comes to accountability in crime, the law only focuses on the people who actively commit the worst acts. But what about the ones who stood by and let it happen? That is the big question surrounding Kevin Franke. He wasn't the one who tied up his children. He wasn't the one who starved them. But he was the father in the house, the one who watched his wife Ruby spiral into extremist parenting, the one who didn't step in when the red flags were practically smacking him in the face. So here's what we need to figure out. Should Kevin Franke be held legally responsible for what happened to his kids? Or is he just another victim of Ruby Franke and Jody Hildebrandt's control? Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, joining us to discuss. I want to dive into, you know, your skills here in behavioral analysis on this. You've dealt with people who claim ignorance when crimes happen under their noses in cases like this. Where does this line get drawn between willful blindness and, criminal negligence?
I think in this case, there's definitely an arc of her, Ruby being in control of the house. She definitely controlled the household. Then, she brings Jody Hildebrandt in there. And Kevin was always from the very beginning. And I got this not just from the case itself, but just reading the daughter's book, always the supportive role, always kind of enamored with Ruby and did whatever Ruby said. Mm-hmm. So that being the case, though, if you're looking at it from a legal standpoint, I think the big challenge is in order to go after him, you're going to have to show that he was willfully knowledgeable, or at least just knowledgeable at all, of what was going on. And I think so in all the things that were going on that Ruby started doing to the children, all the, the physical harm to them, as well as psychological harm, that's a whole different angle. But the major stuff that's going on to the children was after Ruby, as she says, invited him to leave the house and have no contact with the family. I think it's going to be very hard to show what he knew was going on at the time.
I think it is as well. And I do look at him as a victim, somewhat here. It is very difficult, as a parent to look at this and go, how did you not step in? How did you not say, hey, what the hell? At some point, but it's a slow progression, a very insidious way that this had progressed in their life. And they already came from a very religious mindset, a very much, here's what the church says you should do, so we better do it. Otherwise, fire and brimstone or whatever they believe. You got that in there. You have literally a marriage that seems to have some issues here. You have the church that says, go to Jody, and literally recommends her. And then here's Jody basically spouting off whatever she thinks. And they're looking at it as well. It's not only Jody, the church says this person is in smart too and has good ideas. So he's going along with it. And he's already in a mindset where he is somewhat culpable or somewhat susceptible, I think, of, magical thinking, of just willful blindness to some of these people. But is that an excuse? Is that an excuse to be negligent to your children if your belief system led you to think that, abusing our kids is what God wants?
Here's the real challenge here is because again, I don't think anyone's going to be able to show a linkage where he knew that his children were being abused after he left the house. And the reason he left the house, so his whole motivation, as has been described both in the daughter's book and throughout everything, is that he wanted to be a great father and he wanted to be a great husband. According to the definition as their church and their community defined it. And that meant that he took the role of provider as Ruby took the role of matriarch in the house. And when you allowed her to be the matriarch in the house with her ways of doing things that she learned from the groupthink of her own parents, this is the way things are done. This is the way things. So in other words, he was all of them were completely surrounded by massive groupthink, and that this is the way a healthy family behaves. This is the way a healthy family provides. And so as it's escalating down that path, and then enter Jody Hildebrandt, who then starts that boiling pot with the frog in it, and as it's starting to cook without even realizing it, she then uses that same language, that same thought process to say to Ruby, in order for him to be a better husband, he needs to go fix himself and go work on himself because he's got all these issues. You know, he's got unclean thoughts because all men have unclean thoughts. In order for that to work, he's got to leave the house. And because he's already been slowly boiling and being inoculated to this behavior, he says, wow, you're right, because it's always been right. So many other people say you're right. In order for me to be a better father and a better husband, I have to leave the house for at least a year. Because that's what he told the kids.
Yeah.
And then even when he is the professor on the same campus with his daughter, he was not allowed to have contact with her.
Yeah.
Does that not blow your mind?
And he willingly went along with it. There's no court order saying any of this. It's just like, well, this is the best thing to do according to our faith and Jody and all of that.
And because he was not allowed to have contact, there is no communication where he's aware of what was going on, because he allowed his wife and the crazy nut job Jody of cult leader to take over everything. And so it's he was a bad father. There is no doubt.
A bad father, but trained to believe he was being a good father, based on 100%. On the convictions 100%. That he was brought up around, and his circle was telling him. And that's got to take some time to kind of get your way out of that. I still think he's working his way through it, based on the interviews that I've seen recently from him. I don't think he's fully out of it. I don't think he's fully grasped his role in this, or is ready to take full accountability. And I think it's just going to take some time, because he's coming out of a cult, and that takes some moment, kind of takes steps sometimes. So I'm not faulting him for not immediately being like, oh my God, but he's still blaming the internet. That's a big, it's the internet that made her do this. No, it's your religion and Jody and your whole way of life that made this happen. Take eight passengers out of it. This same shit, I think, would have happened, just on a much less, visible scale to the public. The fact that she had the notoriety is really what brought them the attention. And the fact that he is still saying, I still love her, but he is saying, it's not that I mean I want to get back with her, but I think I'll always love her.
They never really went into a lot of depth of his life arc, which brought him to the point where he was in life. We know a lot about Ruby's. You know, Ruby got into the eight passengers and vlogging because her sisters were being successful on YouTube, and she was always in competition with the sisters because she always wanted the mother's attention. So we had a lot of data points on Ruby about why Ruby was completely psychotic with how she was running her life, how her family, because she's constantly seeking her mother's approval. Matter of fact, she even used the same language with her daughter. Her mother told Ruby that we can only have a conversation, be friends, when you become a mother yourself, and because you don't understand. And so once you reach that milestone and you have that label of mother and matriarch of the household, we can then become friends. She told the same thing to her kids. Her kids were not anything but a tool for her to become a mother.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why she targeted Kevin in college. She literally saw him and targeted him for marriage before she even, I think it was her first or second year of college, that she said, I want to marry him because he fits that mold of what I need to have this, 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 and this. And so the whole vlogging came about because she's competing with her sisters for that attention, for that notoriety. Yeah. And she happened to be decent at it.
What a bizarre way to live life. There's so much to this case, and I would love to talk more about it. There's a new documentary that's out actually as of our recording today on Hulu that dives into this and really shows the depth of what was going on, at least in the perspective now, and the words of Kevin Franke and some of the kids. It's definitely worth checking out, and maybe next week we can dive into that once we both had a chance to really see it in its entirety. It's a story and maybe a lesson that others in similar circumstances, in similar religions, in similar weird ways of thinking, can recognize some red flags and hopefully find a way out.
The world of true crime never stops, and neither do we. Press subscribe now to get daily updates, in-depth analysis, and expert opinions from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.